Interest to the Enemy, the story of Larry Crane, told you by the man who wrote his obituary.
My name's John Briscoe, owner and publisher of the Gazette, most flourishing daily paper in the county. Only daily paper in the county, to be quite truthful, but that's neither here nor there. We're a fair-sized little city. Used to be I could name practically everybody in town, but I can't do that anymore. We've grown too fast. Some of the boys we've sent off to war I don't know, except by name. It was different with Larry Crane. He grew up right on our block. Madge Crane's only boy. I've watched him grow up, watched Madge work and plan and dream for that boy. Wasn't easy going, for Will Crane died when Larry was a baby. When the news came that Larry Crane was dead, killed in action somewhere in the Southwest Pacific, well, I just felt like everybody else did. I remember I started walking around the block. It was a cool, crisp evening, and Joe Burton was raking leaves in his front yard. He had a gray sort of look on his face. Hello, Burton.
Oh, hello, John.
You heard the news, I suppose.
Larry Crane? Yep, I heard it.
Kind of hard to believe.
Doggone it, John. I couldn't feel worse if it was my own boy.
Been feeling somewhat the same way myself. I'm on my way down to see Larry's mother now.
You know something? I wish I was young enough to fight. I'd give my right hand for just one chance at the low-down, stinking Japs who got Larry Crane. If they'd take me, I'd go in a minute.
Yeah. Who wouldn't? But you and I, fellas our age, Bert, we've got to do our fighting at home. And important fighting it is, too. War bonds, scrap.
Yeah, I know what you mean, John. Been reading your editorials. Darn good ones.
Yeah, thanks.
We're all trying to do our part here at home, but I...
Yeah?
Well, I wish I could be sure we're doing everything we can to help, John. That's what would give me more satisfaction than anything I can think of today. Just be sure.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't guess you'd feel like walking down to Mrs. Crane's with me for a couple of minutes, huh?
No, Briscoe, I'm no good at that sort of thing at all. Women go all to pieces, and a man just stands around, doesn't know what to say. Well, me anyhow. Hey, look, you find out if there's anything I can do for Madge Crane, huh? You come on back and tell me.
All right, Burton.
After all, what can anybody say to a woman who's probably feeling like it's the end of the world?
Oh, yeah.
Well, get back to my leaf raking. One thing you can always turn to, and that's the job at hand.
That's right. Well, so long, Burton.
So long.
Well, that's the way it was all down the street. I met Polly Atchison just getting home from work. Polly and my girl Clara are the same age. Been friends all through school. Polly'd been crying, you could tell. She'd seen me coming down the street and waited for me.
Mr. Briscoe.
Oh, evening, Polly. You work a lot of overtime down there at that defense plant, don't you?
I was glad I could be busy today, Mr. Briscoe. You heard about Larry?
Pretty tough, isn't it?
Oh, Mr. Briscoe, when it's somebody you've known all your life and grown up with, it makes you want to stop right out and do something.
Well, you're already doing a lot, Polly. That defense work.
But I could do lots more things in my spare time if I just knew how to get hold of them. Larry Crane was out there fighting with his life. My brother's out there somewhere, too. If only... I wish I could join something and go, too.
Now, your job's to stay here and take care of your dad, Polly. You're needed at home, and you're needed at that plant.
I know, but please, Mr. Briscoe, if you hear of anything more I can do in my spare time, let me know. Nothing else matters but winning this war and getting the whole awful thing stopped.
I'm on my way down to Mrs. Crane's, Polly.
I'm going down there, too, after I've gotten Dad his dinner. It must just seem to her like the world's come to an end.
Those were the words I kept hearing all the way down the street. It must seem like the end of the world to Larry Crane's mother. Well, I don't know what I expected when I walked into Madge Crane's place that evening. I should have been prepared, but I wasn't. She looked pale, so pale she scared me for a minute. And there I stood, shifting from one foot to another, trying to think how to offer her my sympathy. Mrs. Crane, you don't know how bad I feel.
I don't want sympathy.
Beg pardon, what'd you say?
Mr. Briscoe, I don't want sympathy. That's what you were about to do, wasn't it? Offer me sympathy about Larry?
Well, yes.
Well, don't, please.
Well, I...
Sympathy, it's mostly talk when you stop to analyze it, isn't it? Oh, please don't think I don't appreciate the thought behind it.
Larry was a fine boy, Mrs. Crane. You can be proud of him.
But I am proud of him. But you see, Larry died in action, not in talk.
Oh, Mrs. Crane, believe me, I just wanted somehow to make you feel better.
The only thing that will make me feel better is action. I'm not the only mother who's lost a son in this war. I don't know how other mothers feel at a time like this, but I only know I've got to do something.
Yes, I know. You keep busy. That's the best remedy. And do anything you
can. No, Mr. Briscoe, it isn't a question of just keeping busy. It isn't a question of just any kind of activity. Did you ever read a story by Willa Cather, I think, where there was a feeble-minded boy who lived with his family on a ranch somewhere in the West? The ranch was rather hard to get to, so there weren't many visitors. Every time a visitor would drive into the yard, this unfortunate boy would run around the yard aimlessly and flap his arms like a rooster. Under the impression, I believe the book said, that all activity is meritorious. Did you ever read that book?
No, but I see what you mean.
All activity is not meritorious. It's the best activity we can do at the best time and in the best place that counts.
Yes, yes.
You're an editor. I know you're behind this whole thing of fighting at home. I know you are because of the things I've read that you've written in your paper, urging us all to fight on the home front. Also, I know you are because I've known you for 20 years, almost since the day Larry was born.
Yes, that's right.
Tell me, Mr. Briscoe, I know how hard you've worked, but tell me, are you sure that you, we, everybody in this city really knows the best way he can help to win this war?
Well, I don't know, Mrs. Crane. Some of us right here on this street seem to be a little confused about what we can do.
Then I think I've found my job, Mr. Briscoe. If you and the neighbors are willing for me to do it, it would give me real satisfaction. Real satisfaction.
And while Mrs. Crane told me her plan of action, something suddenly clicked. I suddenly realized that what she'd thought of was the sensible, practical answer for Burton and Polly Atchison, myself, all of us up and down the block. It was such a darn sensible way for a neighborhood to work together on its scrap collecting, its bond buying, conservation, and the rest. And that's the idea that already occurred to a lot of people throughout the country. It's called the Block Plan. And I sat down that evening and wrote my editorial, putting the idea up to the people of our town. People went for it, too.
John?
Yes, dear?
Listen, John, have you read the editorial in the Gazette tonight?
Well, no. What does it say?
It's called Of Interest to the Enemy.
Oh?
Larry Crane, age 20, died somewhere in the Pacific Southwest. We can't give the date, nor the location, nor the exact circumstances, because that's a military secret and constitutes information that might be of interest or consolation to the enemy. But there is something else concerning Larry Crane's death that will be of interest to the enemy, and we can publish it and do publish it now. It's part of Larry's obituary. We're the people who are standing behind those boys like Larry Crane, and we're in this war, too. Now we know the best way for us to get in and help lick you fellows over there, and we don't mind telling you how we're going to do it.
Yeah, let me read that. Sounds good. Old man Briscoe's got his temper up.
Well, all right, go ahead. You read the rest of it.
We're the American people, and we're a darn big nation. We're so big, it takes a little longer to get us all lined up and ready to go. But when we get that way, we really pack a wallop. That's it, Briscoe. Go to it. And because all of us want to help pack that wallop, we're going to organize a second army of our own here at home, starting right in the block where Larry Crane grew up. We're going to organize every block of every neighborhood and every city and town in America. And we're going to organize for action. Here's the way we start.
You see, first of all, you and your neighbors simply get in touch with your local Civilian Defense Council. Ask them to appoint somebody in your block to be your block leader. In our case, it was Mrs. Crane because she had the time and she wanted to do the job. Your block leader then goes regularly to Civilian Defense Headquarters for instruction and help. The idea is that your block leader, from now on, is the link between your family and all the war campaigns and activities that are going on in your city. If there's a salvage campaign on, your block leader will bring you all the details you want to know about it. What kind of scraps needed, where to find it, whom to give it to. Even make the arrangements to have it collected. If there's a voluntary food rationing program underway, like the voluntary meat rationing at the moment, your block leader will have official information about what the government needs you to do. You can't make any mistakes because you're getting your information straight, and you don't miss any tricks. If volunteers are needed somewhere in the city to do some kind of special job that's right down your alley, you'll hear about it through your block leader. See? It's as simple as that. The block plan covers everything you and I here at home can do to help beat the Axis. Does the plan work? Folks, it really does. They've tried it out in Bridgeport, Connecticut, Chicago, and other cities, and it gets results. Try the block plan in your town. Give it a real chance to work.
This program, sent to you by the United States Office of Civilian Defense, was written by Pauline Gibson and directed by William Russo of the Radio Directors Guild. And now, a representative from your local Civilian Defense Council to tell you how the block plan operates in this locality.